Lord, take my words and speak through them. Take our minds and think through them. Take our hearts and set them on fire with love for you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Do please take a seat. I think for me, one of the most moving things this Christmas was when I joined a group of other church members and we sang at one of the local care homes, Loxley Chase, just up the road from here. We were there suitably socially distanced, and they ushered us round the back of the care home, and they'd opened up one of the lounges, and we were singing kind of through the French windows to the residents, who were all swathed in blankets because it was a pretty raw day outside. Here were people who have been living in profound isolation for the last few months, in which it was very difficult for them to see anybody else outside the small bubble in which they lived. And we couldn't do very much together. We obviously couldn't go very close to them, and indeed we had to stay outside as they were inside. But what we could do was sing together, and it was profoundly moving that as we sang and belted out the carols as best we could from the outside, we could see the residents in the inside of the home joining in. Humans are singing animals. We certainly are animals, as panic buying of lettuce and loo roll in recent days has reminded us. But we love to sing, not the least of the deprivations of COVID-19 is that we are prevented from singing inside church as a congregation. So I want to ask tonight, why should we sing? In Luke's Gospel, which we've just heard, there is a great deal of singing going on. The angels sang glory to God in the highest heaven, and the shepherds, having seen the infant Jesus, returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen. And I wonder, did Mary too sing softly to the child she held in her arms? There was then a great deal of singing on that first Christmas. But alongside that, there was a great deal of heartache and danger. Children did not lie in mangers in the first century any more than they do now. And I'm struck how when I talk to mums and dads expecting a new baby, they are busy getting cots and painting bedrooms. Mangers might seem cute, but they were containers for animal feed. Jesus was in the manger because there was nowhere better that his parents could find to put him. And the reference to the Roman emperor holding a census is a reminder of the currents of power politics that were swirling around Jesus that first Christmas. This was an empire whose local stooge, King Herod, would soon try to eliminate Jesus, fearing him as a rival ruler. This was an empire whose soldiers, 30 years on, would execute Jesus on the cross. This wider context is hardly the kind of thing to put a song in your heart. And that brings us to tonight, Christmas night 2020. What a year we have lived through. How different this Christmas is to last Christmas. Some of you are here tonight or listening online tonight, but you meant to be somewhere else entirely, and you may well be wishing you were somewhere else entirely with those others to whom you cannot get. Life before COVID was certainly not all roses, but this Christmas we are profoundly aware of how many simple things we miss the simple pleasures of a shared meal and human contact. This is a world of plenty and beauty in many ways, but it is also a world of profound fragility, easily broken. And goodness, it is broken at the moment. It is a world in need of a savior. And they needed a savior in first century Palestine too. It is the curse of modern men and women that we naturally think ourselves self-sufficient. And it takes a disruption like the one we are living through to expose the illusion of self-sufficiency. We need a savior. And the good news of Christmas is that in Christ we have one. The child in the manger grows up to be the man on the cross, who 3 days later bursts from the empty tomb on Easter morning. I wonder, Barbara, if we could put up a slide of the picture I gave you earlier. This is a picture by Van Dyck. It's a picture of Mary with the infant Jesus. I'm not sure if you can see it, but in the kind of shadows on the left-hand side is a lovely, is a very calm-looking donkey gazing over Mary's shoulder at the child. In this picture, what's striking about it is the source of light in the picture almost seems to be the child itself. It's as if the light is coming out of the child and falling on the rest of the actors in this picture. We sing even though the night is dark, because the light has come to us in Christ. God shows his glory in the most unexpected ways. No one was looking for glory in the manger, but that's where glory was to be found. God alone can save us, but he can only save us by reaching down to our level, truly touching our world. Christ, who is both holy God and holy man, gets down to our level. We have comfort in Christ because he is at our level, because he knows our lives from the inside, knows our temptations, our bodily deprivations, our pain, our betrayals. We can pour out our hearts to him. He knows our hearts. We can trust him with our sorrow. God in Jesus is with us. But because God in Jesus is God, he will not leave us where we are, not stuck in the mess where we find ourselves. Christ came to the crib, but also to the cross. He comes to be with us, but also to die for us. This is the messy glory of Christmas night. On Christmas night, we are not learning information about God. We are encountering God. Because of Christ's birth at Christmas, we are not walking alone in this world. And therefore, because of Christ's birth, we must sing. We must sing, for this is very good news. It feels like winter now, but it is often cold, even when the spring is coming. And spring comes slowly, but the great thing is that the corner has been turned. And the incarnation of Jesus says that the seeds have begun to sprout, the buds begun to swell, so we can have hope. And we are invited to join in the spring, not be bowed down and depressed by winter. We can work for the spring, for in Christ it is coming. Glory, glory, Man United, go the fans of the the team of whom one of my household supports. And I need to stress to you, this shows the weakness of parental influence, because my son's allegiance to Man U has nothing to do with me. It's striking the way that football fans often base chants on Christian songs. "We'll support you evermore," of course, comes from the hymn "Bread of Heaven." I don't object to football fans recycling Christian songs. It is a reminder that the original reason for singing reaches back beyond the pleasures of human life. Like the residents in Loxley Chase nursing home, our present reality is mixed. We may not feel like singing. There are good things, but there is much heartache. But we have a Savior born to us this night, and therefore we rejoice. We are witnesses to the glory of God come as a child. And like the shepherds, we go home praising God. And though tonight we cannot sing together as a congregation, we can join in with our hearts with the songs sung for us tonight. And as we do, we are reflecting back to God the glory we witness in the manger. And as we do, we will find our hearts renewed by the hope of Christ. How silently the wondrous gift is given. So God imparts to human hearts the blessings of his heaven. No ear may hear his coming, but in this world of sin, where meek souls will receive him still, the dear Christ enters in. Amen.